Hi, friends. Glad we can be together online today. I've got three little kids at home, ages 6, 3, and 1. So having us all at home together a lot more than usual has been challenging for sure. Apparently, I've gained weight from a year of eating ice cream and chips. And so my wife has been encouraging me to run. I'm not a natural runner, and kicking up a new habit is never easy. But the other day, I went for something like my 4th run, which absolutely destroyed me. And after the run, I tried doing a few little stretches on our living room floor, but I just ended up laying there on the rug, breathing hard, trying to remember, this is good for me. And just then my little one-year-old comes up to me. She looks down on my red face, the sweat on my forehead, and she tilts her neck in curiosity and she walks right up to my face. And then she kicked me right in the ear. So I yell out, gentle, 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 that's my face. And throughout COVID, I've been saying that word gentle all the time. I say it when the kids are wrestling each other, when they're touching each other's little wounds or their own, when they're dancing with my phone in their hands. And yes, I know that's already a parenting fail. But the reason I'm constantly going on and on with my kids about how they need to be gentle isn't because they're weak and placid little things, but because they're powerful. And if they don't steward their power well, if they're not aware of others, people can get hurt. Or at least I certainly can. It's not hard to relegate gentleness into something of a childish virtue. And I imagine for most of us, gentleness isn't something that we feel deeply drawn towards. So maybe it comes as a bit of a surprise when we read in Scripture that gentleness finds its home in the very heart of God. We're nearing the end of our series where we've been unpacking what it looks like to live by the Spirit, looking at how when our lives are changed as God makes his home in each of us. Each week, we've been exploring the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the stuff that grows out of us when God is at work in our lives. And today, we're looking at the fruit flavor of gentleness. We read in Galatians 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. If you were to do a quick survey where people describe some of the character qualities of God, I think you'd hear things like loving, just, merciful, faithful, holy, good. But I think for a lot of us, gentleness may not make the top 10 list. And if it does, maybe we'd rank it right near the back. But I want to try to make a case today that God's gentleness is one of the most compelling and interesting things that make God, God. And that if we can embrace a similar gentleness in our own lives, it can be one of the most compelling things about us too. Sometimes it's the simple words that are the most difficult to define. I think that's the case with gentleness. It has something to do with being considerate, being reasonable, but in a big-hearted kind of way. And we definitely know its opposite well, things like violence, cruelty, and callousness. Aristotle put gentleness right between being too angry and never becoming angry. It's not rage and it's not apathy, but it's the midpoint between those two. Or in American Sign Language, gentleness looks like this. It's actually the same sign as the word soft. I think all those bits help create a portrait of gentleness, but the working definition I've been most drawn to is that gentleness refers to a sensitive consideration. It doesn't come out of a place of weakness, but it recognizes the fragility in others with deep awareness and clarity. You know how if you have a delicate package, it gets a label put on it, handle with care. I think gentleness sees that label stamped on every human face. And that's certainly how God sees us, with an ever-present sensitive consideration. Scripture is actually packed with all kinds of references to God's gentleness, but I think one of the most striking depictions is in Isaiah chapter 40. And there we read the writer say to us, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." The language there is so poetic that it's easy to miss it, but this is really interesting. God's immense power and strength are directed towards us through his gentleness, his sensitive consideration. The God of power presents his mighty arm through tenderness, by handling us with care. It's a stunning picture. But I don't know if we always feel that. Try this quick exercise out right now. Stop and think for a bit. Do you feel like God has dealt gently with you? How about this morning? Or this week? Or what about 2020? So you didn't feel like the year of God's gentleness. But could it be that God's gentle dealings in our lives is actually the theme over all of us all the time? Gentleness doesn't just show up when things are all good and fine. Things like a gentle breeze and the gentle light of the sun. Certainly they're beautiful, but they may not give us the best picture of gentleness. According to the Bible, God's gentleness towards us isn't seasonal or situational, but it's an ever-present reality reflected on us from the very heart of God. The best way God stewards his power is by being gentle. And if you're not sensing God's gentleness towards you, if that feels a bit foreign, perhaps there's an invitation there to lean further into an experience of God's Spirit. I don't mean that in a judgmental way, but in the sense that there might be more to discover there, that if in fact it's true, the Spirit of God is gentle at heart, perhaps we can experience that in a more real way. And to be fair, sometimes God's sensitive consideration that he directs towards us is just really hard to see. Join me again, another quick thought exercise, and think for a minute of the most gentle person you know. Picture them right now in your mind. God is like that. That's God's posture towards you. Later today, send that person a text to thank them for communicating God to you. For me, my dad is the most gentle person I know. He's always thinking of others with a sensitive consideration. When our car got stolen, he talked to me about the thief and said, "I wonder what God will do in that person's life through this." And through COVID, several churches throughout Canada haven't displayed the most gentle posture in response to government restrictions. My dad lives in Calgary, and the local paper there was doing a story about how churches who refuse government orders might actually be damaging Christian faith. The author of the article reached out to my dad, referring to him as the most Jesus-like person she knew. And my dad went on to say, in his usual very gentle way, how government restrictions don't amount to church persecution, and how he's been discouraged by the response of some who malign health authorities in the name of Jesus. I realize people have different views on this, but I was proud of my dad for standing up and for speaking into a really critical issue. But as you can imagine, a lot of folks weren't so happy. My dad got heaps of phone messages and emails where people were attacking him, belittling him, and condemning him for false faith. And when I heard that, I felt angry. My dad is 77, and he's spent his life in the service of his community. And when I asked him how he was feeling about all this pushback, he told me, "Sometimes when I call people back, they're just too angry or upset to talk." And I said, "Dad, you're calling people back?" He said, "Well, yes, they called me. And even when there's anger, we still need to show love." I found that astonishing. I think it's the sign of gentleness, of such a sensitive consideration of the other, to offer peace, to attack, to offer dignity to indignity. So this last week I asked my dad, "What do you think it is that makes you gentle? Is it primarily a disposition thing? And some people are just more sensitively aware than others?" And he said to me, "Well, sure, we all have different starting places in our lives. But the way to grow in gentleness is by allowing God's Spirit to work through you and to not simply respond out of your own flesh or out of your own sense of things." He said, "Gentleness can be linked to slowness because it takes some time to discern what the Spirit would say to us and what the Spirit would have us do." And thinking about my dad's words, I started to wonder, could there be some creative ways we could disrupt the default schedule of our days and become more aware of God's Spirit? to become more aware of how his gentleness might be expressed in us. Maybe it's pausing before a coffee or before a meal, or setting an alarm on our phones to stop for a minute here and there throughout the day to make space for being deliberately aware of God's Spirit. After all, how will God have more access to our lives if we don't make space for that to happen? A little while ago, my wife and I were having a fight, and halfway through, we stopped. And we said to each other, wait, let's do this gently. And you know what changed? Nothing. We kept right on fighting. Well, it's not quite totally true. Our fight did keep going, but honestly, by choosing gentleness, we gained perspective and we had a different way of seeing each other. We weren't thinking of the other as a villain. We didn't walk away feeling contempt towards each other. We could see each other with a sensitive awareness, with a new sort of clarity. And that's part of what makes gentleness so compelling. It gives us a gift of clarity to truly see another. I think it's really easy for Christians to get gentleness wrong. We can easily assume that we're right on things as a matter of principle, and that somehow that correctness of belief elevates us over another. But here's the shocker. Gentleness wins over being right. Better to be described as humane or big-hearted than simply to be said to have a handle on knowledge. The Bible's chapter on love spells that all out for us. I've felt all kinds of muddled emotions this last week in thinking about the discovery of the remains of 215 indigenous children. I felt guilty, angry, ignorant, helpless, numb, and it's hard to know how to respond to such incredible devastation. I've been thinking of my dad's words to go slow and to stop and listen for God's Spirit, to listen to the indigenous community and to each other. I think this does show us just how high the stakes are when there is a breach of gentleness, when that sensitive consideration of the other becomes a secondary virtue. Our collective failures of gentleness need to be recognized, understood, and for to find a way to move forward with a sensitive awareness of each other. It's a long road ahead, and it's one that we certainly need to walk together. Gentleness may not be the first thing that comes to mind when you're dealing with trauma, but it's the clarity that we see in gentleness that defends the dignity of all people. It never operates by coercion or threat, but it recognizes every person is to be handled with care. Like we saw in Isaiah, gentleness isn't a passive force. It's the best way to steward power. I think for a lot of us, it's easy to dismiss it as a less essential virtue out of the fear of being a doormat or just not having a backbone. It's easy to equate being gentle with being polite. But we can be aware of others with a sensitivity and still be angry. We can still feel lots of complex emotions because gentleness leaves room for all kinds of possibility. We read in 2 Timothy 2 that opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. That can feel counterintuitive, but it's gentleness that leaves room to truly have our hearts converted. As a parent, I have to discipline my kids a fair bit. I give them consequences for biting, throwing objects at my head, bullying, and yes, that did all happen to me yesterday. But I want to offer that correction with gentleness to leave the door open for true change and transformation. It's not discipline as in punishment. It's discipline as in becoming a disciple to learn a better way. We don't grow through force, but through sensitive awareness, through gentleness. Now, it's funny how even if we might think that being gentle with others is helpful for their change process, we often don't hold the same belief when it comes to ourselves. Some of us are really good at showing gentleness to others, but our own internal voice is full of contempt, disdain, and critique. But what if learning to speak to ourselves gently, Learning to hear the Spirit's gentle words to us was the key to our own transformation, to our own process of change. I think that's exactly why we see gentleness at the very heart of God, because of its huge transformative power. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." He talked a lot about the human heart and human motivations. He's talking a lot about his own heart or his own center very much. But when he does, he tells us what occupies that space. And it's gentleness, this sensitive awareness that he sees us, he knows us in every detail, and his response to us is tender. The prophet Isaiah described God's Savior saying, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory." It's a beautiful depiction of gentleness, dealing slowly and carefully with those who are hurt and who feel fragile. But it still comes with transformative hope, with a strong commitment to the triumph of justice. There's a short story by Leo Tolstoy called Master and Man, about a landowner who sets out on a sleigh with one of his peasants for a hurried business trip. The two men are struck by a blizzard and end up lost in the snow, and their horse is exhausted, so they plan on sleeping through the night to try and find their way in the morning. But in the dark, as conditions get worse, the master decides to leave the servant behind, to set out on his own with the horse and to save his own life. He wanders through the storm, but ends up simply going around in circles and finds himself back at the sleigh where the servant is close to death. In that moment, the master has a revelation. And in seeing the frailty of his peasant, something gentle is stirred within him. The master is changed in that moment, and he lies on top of the servant to warm him through the night. In the morning, people arrive looking for the pair, and they find the master and the horse dead, but the servant is alive. It's a powerful depiction of gentleness, of sensitive consideration, of seeing clearly that the person next to us is stamped "handle with care," someone worthy of dignity and respect. And at the end of the day, when things come full circle, it's gentleness that allows the seemingly inevitable to be transformed. That's the compelling secret strength in the heart of God, that his power is stewarded with gentleness, a sensitive consideration that brings clarity and enables true conversion. We're going to respond today by coming to the table for communion. Having seen the gentle heart of Jesus, now we're going to receive it into our own lives, believing that by God's Spirit, we too can be transformed. Let me pray for us. Living God, would you come to meet us in this meal? Touch the bread and the drink in every home and make it holy. As we share in this, would you give us your Spirit and make us into your people? We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks for it, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's together share in the body of Christ. In the same way, after supper, he also took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's together share in the life of Christ. Thanks be to God. Maybe moving forward this week when you're faced with something difficult, the next time you meet a mistake in someone else or in yourself, you can stop and ask, what's the gentle way forward here? How can I become more aware of God's Spirit and allow that same Spirit to work through me? So would you join me, and together let's pursue the gentleness that can be found at the very heart of God. Amen.